Welcome to Soul Via Soul, the podcast where we embark on a journey of self-love and true wellness. I'm your host, Jada, and I'm absolutely delighted to have you here with me as we dive into all things mind, body, and soul. Now, what do you say we get this thing started? Let's dive in. This week on the podcast, I am joined with a longtime friend and fellow therapist, Kate, from Soulful Space Coaching. Kate and I get into the idea of spring cleaning and how spring is often the time of renewal and growth, but spring cleaning and decluttering can be something that we do all the time to enhance our overall health and wellness. And I've been doing the Swedish Death Cleanse, and we talk a little bit more about our attachment to things and living life with intention and giving ourselves permission to let go of things that no longer align, no longer serve, and no longer add value to our lives. So let's get into learning a little bit more about spring cleaning with Kate.
So, Kate, we're just going to jump right in it. First of all, I must say you look glamorous. The lighting is fantastic, and you look like a superstar.
Well, all right. So this is what facing a window does for you.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm so excited to reconnect with you. And I, you know, we did a series initially about creating sacred spaces. And I wanted to revisit and talk about kind of spring cleaning, but in a much deeper way. And I don't know if you've been following along with what I'm doing with my podcast, but we are actually, I'm doing the Swedish Death Cleanse right now.
Oh, yes. I love it.
I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's going on, because the Soul Via Soul podcast season two is really more like this chronicle of stepping into wellness in like a way bigger way, meaning that I am realizing that the things in my life are taking up more space than I want them to have. And rather than doing like a basic decluttering, because you're a decluttering coach, number one, and number two, you're a therapist. So you understand why we're so connected and attached to our things. So I want to talk about that, but you don't know what's going on in my life. So let me just catch you up for like a split second.
Yeah.
And that is, we are literally selling every possession we own. And we are going to be, my husband and I are going to be traveling all over the world and living life out of a suitcase.
Oh my God, I love this. Okay, we need to find like additional time where I can hear way more about
this.
This is so exciting. Okay, cool.
Well, it's interesting because you say cool, and there's been mixed response. Some people are like, this is awesome. Some people are like, are you crazy? And it's interesting because I noticed something in my Swedish Death Cleanse. Our house officially will be sold this Friday. We are officially homeless as of Saturday. We really have no idea where we're going. So that's just a little bit like freaky. Uh-huh. But also incredibly liberating. And so what I did this week was I saved the hardest for last.
Yeah.
I got rid of all the things, you know, you empty your junk drawers, how you talk about decluttering, and you take one at a time, one room at a time, maybe spend a few minutes. So we've been kind of doing this for a while, but now it's down to the wire. And I had to go through all the photos.
Oh.
And what I realized when I started opening up box of photos was that there were at least three bins of photos that were from when my parents died that I had never opened.
Yeah.
Because when they passed away and I inherited all this stuff, I just shoved it in a corner and I said, nope, not doing it. And now all of a sudden I had to do it. And there was all of this, there were all these emotions, there was all this stuff, but I condensed it into one bin,
okay,
which I'm going to digitize.
Okay.
And that's going to be the catalog basically of my life. And I want you to speak to, I can tell you what it was for me, but I want you as a therapist to really get underneath why do we hang on to things? And it's interesting because, and part of what I'm doing this is because when my parents died, I had to go through this. I had to go through all their stuff.
Yeah.
And it caused, I couldn't even grieve.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? I'm not doing this to my kids. I'm going to go through my stuff now. I'm going to give them what they want now. They're all starting their lives. They're all furnishing their apartments. And I was like, take what you want. Take it all. Take
yes.
it.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, we realized that in this week, all of our children have furniture. They have dishware. They have cookware. They have clothing. They have jewelry. They have stuff that is ours that we have now said, take, enjoy now. Let us see you enjoy them right now.
Yeah.
And at first they thought we had lost our mind and they were like, Mom, are you kind of okay? And then it's been like this whole thing of understanding that detaching from our stuff is going to make it so that they don't have to do that.
Yeah.
So why do we get so attached to our stuff? And interestingly enough, the things that I gave to my kids, I'm like, okay, this is yours now. They're like, I don't care about that. And I was like, why am I hanging on to it then?
Yeah, it happens a lot.
I'm like, you don't want this? They're like, no. So tell us why we have such attachment and why it's good, especially during spring. Like we get this itch to like do it in the spring. So let's speak to that. Why spring cleaning and why do we hang on and what happens when we let go?
Oh my. Okay. So one, spring, if you just kind of think about it, spring is a time of renewal. I mean, that is really what this is about, is we're, in theory, we're opening our windows. It's too cold here in the Chicagoland area to open our windows, although we did have a window open yesterday. But there's, you want fresh air moving through your home, bringing that spring energy of renewal and rebirth and everything in. And these, and things that haven't been cleaned or clutter that has just piled up is stagnant energy. It is not growth. It is not renewal. It is blah. And that's very winter. Winter is hibernation. And we come out of hibernation. And regardless of whether you live in a tropic zone or in a cold zone like us, spring is still a time of renewal. And we are, as mammals, we are connected to the systems, the processes of the planet and what it is doing. So it is a natural thing, truly, to go into spring and to go, oh, okay, what can I refresh? What can I do something with? And I'm just going to say, as a quick aside, in my yoga this morning, in the meditation, she was asking, like, what kind of energy do you want? And, you know, I'm always like, okay, I want calm, grounded energy, because I've had a lot of stuff going on in my own life. But she said something about vibrant energy. And I went, no, that's what I want. I went vibrant, colorful energy. And so I've been trying to embrace that today. And of course, I immediately put a black shirt on, but go figure. So the spring is this time of renewal, and it's such a wonderful kind of juxtaposition sort of to the Swedish death cleaning, because that is really this idea that, like, hey, we're not going to be here forever. And all this stuff, like, is it going to become someone else's burden? And what you're doing is you're making it so that this is not going to be your children's burden at some time. You're giving them the opportunity to say, yes, I do or do not want that thing. And then you figure out what to do with it. But we attach to items out of a symbolism. And it's usually a sense of security. I actually just recorded a series on the chakras in connection to decluttering. Ooh. That's going to be coming out in the next couple of weeks. And with the root chakra, that's where safety, security, groundedness, all of that comes from. And so that gets really, really triggered when we're decluttering, because we have this sense of I'm not safe if I let go of this.
Mm.
And
I feel that. Like when you said that, my body went, oh yeah. That resonated. My root chakra was like,
And people don't think about that. That's why I do, part of why I do the work that I do with decluttering coaching is because most people think if I just have the skills to do this, if I just read enough books or watch enough, YouTube things, then I'll just be able to declutter. And some people are able to do that. But for the majority of people, it is such an emotional experience. Yeah. So this attachment to things holds us back, and holds us back from living the life that we currently can be living, as well as moving into a next phase, because we are constantly moving and evolving and changing as we age, as we go through the different stages of our lives. And to hold on to a whole bunch of stuff from your past that you're not using and therefore are not honoring holds you back. But we have this symbolism of, I have to keep this stuff or else it's as if I'm dishonoring the memories or the people that it's connected to. So again, there's fear, a sense of a lack of safety.
Mm-hmm.
And to give yourself permission to say, it's okay. And start flowing up the rest of your chakras through your sacral chakra of creativity, your solar plexus of confidence, your heart of trust and throat of saying the things, telling the stories of your stuff, and then releasing it from there, going to your third eye of wisdom, and then to your crown of just openness to all the energy of the world. And just instead of being stagnant, being open.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just where my brain's at today.
Wow. That is so beautiful and so resonating. And I can tell you, as you were saying that, I could feel I have cried every single day and in a good way,
mm-hmm.
because it's stored emotion. And I realize that, it's not what was a little hard for a few of my kids were this idea of dishonoring a person by hanging on to a thing. And mm-hmm. because both of my parents have passed away, I had to understand that, they're not living in the things that I have.
Yeah.
They are living in my heart. And that's energetically where I want them to be.
Yeah.
And when I released some of those physical things, there was a physical releasing of my body and my energy. Like I didn't realize that, basically what it felt like was our house was a storehouse for stuff that did no longer serve me. It no longer energetically aligned with what I felt was this molting. Like my husband and I both felt like we were moving and being called to expand our worldview, to expand literally our, my husband put it like taking the snow globe and turning it upside down and shaking it.
I do that. I talk about that all the time about shaking up your snow globe. Oh, absolutely. Yes.
No, that's what it feels like. And at first, you know, when you see all the flurry of all the moving parts, and it feels a little overwhelming. Like, what have I just done? Like, I just shook up my snow globe.
Mm-hmm.
But it also feels like it's in that process of moving energy, almost like that little tornado. It creates this vortex of release, and suddenly there is this you realize that the things that were hang on to, you hit it right the nail on the head, that it literally felt like a dead weight. It felt like a weight energetically, it felt like a weight physically, it felt like a weight that was tethering me, you know. And that can be good in some respects, like when you feel grounded and rooted, talking about the chakras. But it's just stuff. And it's really interesting how there has been all this physical release in my body as I have let go of my attachment to a chair, a sofa, a glass. You know, I look at a glass and I'm like, this was my mother's. And there's so much meaning there.
Yeah.
And it's just a glass.
Yep. All that symbolism that we just pack into one item, that it represents a human being, it represents a relationship, it represents a time in life, it represents, you know, things that, and we, it's like we have it in our heads that if I let go of this item, somehow I'm going to lose that person, I'm going to lose that memory, I'm going to lose that time in my life, I'm going to be disconnected from the life experience that I've had, when that's not actually how it works. Yes, sometimes items, and sometimes it's nice to hold on to a few sacred items because they do kind of bring up really lovely, wonderful, juicy feelings. And yet the majority of the things that we own, we can let go of those, and it's not, we're not going to lose anything.
Yeah.
But again, that fear kicks in that feels as though we are going to lose something. However, the catharsis of releasing the item can get you to a place of processing like little leftover pieces of grief.
It was little leftover pieces of grief, and I didn't know it because I had shoved those boxes into a corner of the storage room because I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. And the thing is had we not forced ourselves into this, that would have been passed on to my children. They would have then had to deal with what I was not ready to navigate. And, you know, it was heavy and hard and beautiful. And, you know, gosh, seeing those pictures of me when I was 16 on spring break, I was like, what? Like, it was really a beautiful sort of walk down memory lane for me. And I also just thinking, like, we're probably the last generation that's going to have boxes of real photos.
Yes.
My kids won't have this.
Right.
They won't have this. And it's interesting how each child kind of glommed on to certain things that were really important to them. It was really beautiful to see what mattered to them. And they were actually way better at letting go of things.
I have found that adult children, we'll call them that, are oftentimes, they actually are better than we are at letting go of things, because they're like, I don't even see what the symbolism is in this thing. Why would I keep this? Now, right. I have found that sometimes when I post about that and I'm kind of giving advice to parents, and, you know, you've got your adult children, like, they don't want the old stuff. They don't want all their old report cards. They don't want all their old, like, you know, macrame or macaroni,
right,
you know, things or whatever from third grade.
And then I will get people who will say, yes, I do. I do want that. And I go, ooh, okay. You have some unresolved stuff about your childhood or your relationship with your parents and stuff like that. And that's okay. You know, and that's your story and you've got to sort through that. Cause I will get a lot of like very vehement people saying, no. I do not want my parents throwing my stuff out. And like, okay, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
And yet in with my clients that I talk to, my friends that I talk to, it keeps on being what you just described of like their adult children kind of go, eh, I don't want this. Or my husband and his two siblings, they didn't want any of the things from their parents' home when their mother passed away 10 years ago. We went through everything. They didn't want any of it. They wanted nothing to do with it. And it was a fascinating purge because there was so much of it that even my father-in-law was kind of went, eh, I don't really need this.
Mm.
But, you know, these adult children looked at the things that their mother had saved and they saw no value for their current lives in them.
Yeah. And I think that's a very, that phrase, no value in your current life. And to that point, we do change. We do evolve. We're constantly moving into, I believe, like higher states of awareness and consciousness. And with that comes, I think, this need to shed and not be, oh, hello there.
Ruby likes to join.
I love Ruby. And you know, there is this desire to, and it's a tug of war. Like it's suddenly we felt the weight of our things rather than the joy that they brought us. And yeah, that's a really interesting switch that happened, that I suddenly saw all these things that I had accumulated over time as being weighty rather than anything. And there was like this slide, and this is how I've described it, like to people, they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, okay, look, we have six kids. None of them are married. None of them have babies. Like we got no grandkids. We have a slice of time where we get to go be, I don't want to say young again, but it almost feels that way. Sure. Like there's this renewal, you know, yes, this spring renewal of like, I want to be a little seed that just gets blown around by the wind and just, where does it land? And what magical things do we discover? And then we just get blown somewhere else and just really open up to being really vessels of where do we need to be and for how long and why? And that's just, it feels almost, I mean, it's terrifying, right? Because it's that safety. Because right,
there's a huge unknown to yes, each thing that you're going to be doing moving forward. Yes. And it takes a type of courage that, you know, again, root chakra going, safety. And yet solar plexus kicks in and says, but we have the confidence that we can do this. And we have the trust and we have the wisdom and we're going to go out there and we're going to check out this next stage and see what the world has to offer us. I think what you're doing is so, so freeing and exciting. And you can't do what you're going to do if you're bogged down by a ton of physical belonging.
No. And it wasn't even, you know, we tried so many ways to figure out how we could keep our things and do it. And it was like, it doesn't work. It doesn't work because there was this, again, I keep using the word weight, but how do you help a person navigate? Now, me being a therapist too, I didn't put the root chakras or I didn't put the chakras to it, which is fascinating. Energetically, I could feel something happening, but okay, how would you, like, if someone's listening, they're like, you know what? Okay, Jada, you're like a little extreme and I'm not ready to get rid of everything I own. I'm not doing that. But you know, maybe there is that box of photos, or maybe there is that room or that garage or that place, because we often have a place where we stick things that we, even junk drawers, you know, even closets, like out of sight, out of mind, like I don't see it, it's not there, I'm going to avoid it. Mm-hmm. So how do you, like, you open the junk drawer, you open the closet, you open the garage, you walk into the storage and you see that stuff and you're confronted with it. How do you gently encourage someone to see this as a beautiful, wonderful, albeit maybe challenging thing, but ultimately we have to keep our eye on what's it going to feel like when we get to the other side of doing that thing? Like, how do you gently encourage someone, let's say they're ready to do some spring cleaning. How would you encourage them to start? And then if they encounter some of those uncomfortable emotions, how do you navigate them to kind of push through and honor them and keep going?
So first of all, you kind of said an initial phase, which is to visualize what is it going to look like when this, say, garage is not piled with all of this stuff. What is it going to feel like? How do I feel when I envision this garage? You know, it's been tidied up. There are shelves and there's organization for bins of Christmas things that need to be, you know, sorted out, and we don't use them all the time. And then our tools are over here and whatnot. And it's tidy and organized. I know what I have. And so I visualize this. And then you check in with yourself as to how that feels. And it always feels delightful. And there, you know, because they're just thinking about the end result, not thinking about the action of doing it. And then I go, okay, so you're going to have that picture and that feeling. That's where we're aiming at.
Yeah.
Now to start is basically everyone's big question for me. How do I start? And it's different for different people, but you start small, for goodness sake. Do not expect yourself to clean out an entire garage, an entire attic, an entire guest room in 1 week, because that will potentially fry you.
Yeah.
So it's about giving yourself permission to do small wins. And I usually ask my clients to start with using a timer and doing 10 minutes. If 10 minutes is like, okay, I can, 10 minutes is no problem. All right, we'll go 15, 20 minutes. But I usually ask them, please stop at 20 minutes and then take 5 minutes, step away, go get something to drink, use the restroom, whatever you got to do. If you want, come back in and do another 20 minutes, but set your timer and then honor the timer. The reason for this is to create some boundaries around the time and space that is being used to go through things, so that it's not just this endless, you know, project that is going to take an entire Saturday and Sunday, and then you're not going to be able to get up Monday morning for work because you're so zotched from it. And sometimes it helps to also start with, you know, you identify, am I going to start with the easiest thing? Am I going to start with the biggest thing that would make the largest impact? Am I going to start with some sort of touchstone item that is like this one thing that's just been bugging the heck out of me, and I need to, like, if I just remove that, like, I'm going to get a big emotional, like, mm-hmm. out of it. So these are a handful of ways that people can start, but it really does, it's being gentle with yourself and having the willingness to do it slowly. I just, over and over again, I see people burn themselves out by trying to accomplish too much because they're just not ready to do all of the stuff. And it takes a lot of physical energy to do this.
Yes.
My father lives in Florida, and so I go down there twice a year, and I spend about 3 days decluttering and reorganizing a space in his home, because he is an artist and has a touch of ADD, And he kind of just, if he's focused over here, he doesn't remember that anything else exists. So his home has just become filled with lots of stuff and he doesn't necessarily want it. It's just, it became so overwhelming. They didn't know what to do with it. So I'm coming in and I will do the hard labor for a few days. But I put things in front of him and say, just make decisions about this small pile of things. And then I go away and I do something else. So I try to keep it so it's not overwhelming for him.
Do you think there's certain personality types or certain people who struggle with just organizing their life or creating that sense of order? Like they just live in the chaos and they're oblivious to it. And I know we've talked about this before, how our spaces impact our mental health. And to even go even further, I would say whatever is going to impact our mental health is going to impact our physical health
I
because
totally agree.
you cannot separate them. So how do you encourage someone that are there personalities that really need more structure? Are there people, and I love the idea of going slowly because this has been a process for me, and I understand I can only do a few probably hours at a time. We're kind of on a crunch because we have to get out by a certain time. Like we
Right.
there's a hard stop. And so I've had to take on more, but I have noticed that there's a physical exhaustion. Like I am so tired, by doing this process. And so I think that's super important. I love the idea of setting a timer. I love the idea of picking either, how you categorize those, where do you start? And what about the flip side of instead of decluttering, what if someone is moving into a new home and they're overwhelmed with all their stuff? Like, how do you encourage them to organize from a place of moving to a new space and just getting into that freeze and just going, I'm just going to live out of laundry bins and boxes for a minute?
And I will say that I do have many clients who they've lived in their home 5, 10 years and they still have things that are in boxes. But going back just a bit to the personality types, I will say that many of my clients have been officially diagnosed with ADHD. Many have not been officially diagnosed, and yet we see a bit of that in there. There's also, if you have a history of trauma, that sense of security and safety of having things that it's like this, your brain says you're protected if you have stuff. So to come up with personalized organizational systems, that is going to be the key. Now, there's the letting go of the items in the first place. But then, if we talk about the idea of, let's say we've got a clean slate of a new home and we've got all these boxes that maybe got a little, decluttered and purged, moving, putting things in boxes, maybe it had to happen really fast, so none of that happened. Well, when you're unpacking, you have this opportunity. You're touching every single item that you own. So you have the opportunity to really ask yourself, do I love this? Do I use this? Do I know why we have this? Is this thing actually broken? Am I ever going to fix it? Which usually the answer is no. Things like that. You get to ask yourself these questions. And then I do encourage people to move in slowly. When you move into a new home, you really want to get everything out of the boxes. Like you want so badly to not be living out of boxes. And yet that can lead to just shoving things in willy-nilly and not really thinking about how your brain works. So, like a kitchen, you want to think about, are you somebody who cooks a lot? If so, where do you want your spices? Do you want them close by? Where do you want your cutlery? Where do you want it? Just each of these things in a pantry. How do we work best? What are the things that we use the most? What are the things we use the least? How are we going to go about this? So thinking about how do we live our life And how does putting this item in this cabinet support the way that we live life, the things that we value at the greatest? So, I mean, there's the basics of, you know, say in a kitchen or in any closet, the things that you use the least, you put on the highest shelves because you want to have the things that you use the most right there, right in front of your face.
Yeah.
So being mindful and intentional, 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 intentional. I will say that as many times as I have to.
Yeah.
And you can, because when I moved into this house, it was the funniest thing. I didn't even realize this until 2018 when I decluttered and reorganized my house. I had put the silverware in the largest drawer in my kitchen. And I had all of the, like, you know, cooking utensils and things in the smallest drawer. I was like, what the heck was I thinking? I had my pots and pans in the smallest cabinet. And I had like my KitchenAid mixer with a handful of other things in the biggest cabinet. Well, the KitchenAid mixer actually fits quite nicely in the small cabinet. So I've switched it over so I can pull pots and pans out without everything falling on me. I mean, when I moved into this house, I don't think I knew what the heck I was doing. But I just wanted it all put away.
Yeah.
So intentional. Intentional often does require slow.
Yeah, I love that. And that resonates. So, you know, I'm thinking about that. And I love two really important things that we've talked about today. And that is giving yourself permission, because we sometimes just go, like when we're moving in, we'll just, again, to that point, just get it out of sight, like just stick it somewhere. And then it doesn't bring order. It doesn't bring beauty. It doesn't align with our values and the way that we move in a space. It's we're fighting our own space. So having that intention is so important. I love that when you're creating or setting up a new space. So for those people who are setting up a space or you're reorganizing, that mindfulness of how you use the space is so important, but also, what do you value? Like, what value is it bringing to your life? And how does it enhance your ability to do the things that you're going to be doing in that space? Yes. You know, instead of just slapping a picture here and there and calling her good, be so intentional about, when I look at this picture, does it inspire and bring joy? And does it enhance my life in some way? I love that. And then kind of on the flip side, when we're removing things, again, that same intentionality, but also giving ourselves permission to detach from the thing having meaning and to really be okay and letting go with item if it doesn't align, if it doesn't bring joy, if it doesn't bring service. You know, it makes me think about, like, I've had a couple of running tights that have, like, they're got a rip and a stain, and why do I hang on to them? And so, I mean, I didn't this time around. I was like, I haven't worn this and it's soiled and it's ripped. And no, that doesn't align. That doesn't speak to the person I want to be. I'm just walking around wearing old stuff with holes in it. I'm not going to do it. I'm very frugal, but I'm not going to do that. Because it doesn't convey how I want to feel about me.
Right.
And the things that we have or don't have can sometimes speak to that, how we feel in the space. And does it bring those feelings of joy, and does it feel aligning? And, you know, that is so good. And I love the intentionality and the slowness, and just being so, you know, again, I use the word intentional because you are, but it's really, that's the perfect word about understanding how the things that we have are, should be, I guess, there to serve and enhance us. and not be distractions or energy suckers or, you know, bringing up bad mojo or memories of, you know, like if it doesn't fill all those categories, out it goes. So what are those categories again? How do you tell people, does it do fill in these things? And if it doesn't, out it goes.
So do I love it? Do I use it? See, this isn't going to be exactly the same list as before because there's a handful of questions, but
right.
Also, did I know that I had this?
That's a big one. There have been things I've been like, I've been looking for this for years. Who knew it was stuck
and
the, in the.
And there are times that you'll come across something and you go, I didn't know I had one of these. Why do I have this? I don't need this. I have no use for this thing. Or do I have multiples of this item?
Well, apparently, Kate, I discovered that I had 4 soup ladles.
How much soup are you ladling?
Right. And wait for it. I had 8 tongs. 8 pairs of tongs.
Oh my.
How many tongs does one need?
It's, you've got 2 hands, so I'm not sure how much tonging. It was, but this is, you know, in the kitchen utensils are oftentimes really a place where we find we end up with lots of multiples, lots of spatulas and lots of
many.
You know, all these different things. And you know, how many whisks does one need? And
I had 5.
Yeah, I will admit that I do have, I think, 4 whisks. And the reason for that is because they you know, different sizes and whatnot. So
for reals, you know, I get that.
But it's you know, I had one client who had 6 measuring cups, and they were not different than one another in size. They were just all the same. And so she couldn't quite understand why she had so many measuring cups. And so I think that
guilty.
Yep.
But here's the thing. I didn't even know. And so when I started doing this with intention, it brought such awareness of, oh my goodness. Like, no wonder I couldn't hardly open this drawer. Like, I got so many things shoved in there. So again, we don't have to do what I'm doing. Like what I'm doing is this extreme, right. You know, it's this sort of experiment. It's this big adventure, mm-hmm. The big adventure of Russ and Jada. Like I need a new podcast. It's just going to be about life in the,
yeah,
but it's this understanding that we really can all benefit from doing not just spring cleaning in the springtime, but we can really benefit by going into different rooms throughout the year, maybe multiple times, maybe once a month, you know, yeah. and really sort of take a look and take stock and be intentional and just kind of doing a scan around the room and answering those questions. Do the things in this room do these things for me? Do I love them? Are they purposeful? Are they useful? You know, is there anything energetically that doesn't align with where I'm at in my life now?
Yes.
That I can give myself permission to say, maybe someone else could benefit from having this thing because it doesn't serve me any longer. And that's okay. I think that permission piece is so important because we do change, we do grow, we do evolve. And there are things that we have that we use and then they're worn and maybe got holes and rips in them. And, you know, that's not going to bring anybody any joy. Maybe. Sure. I mean, it might. I can't speak for everyone. Yeah. But, you know, it's good that we routinely check in with our surroundings and that we get on almost like a maintenance schedule of kind of going, all right, where do I need to purge? Where do I need to just go ahead and apply this spring cleaning principle more often in my life? Would you agree?
Most definitely. I did my original decluttering and reorganizing in my home in March, actually. It was February or March, and I've forgotten, of 2018. And I continue to assess you know, each room, each cabinet, closets, drawers, and check in and go, okay, hang on a second, where is this going? And then there's an intentionality of what comes into the house. And if something's coming into the house, is there something that can leave the house? And you get into this rhythm where it becomes a way of living to have only those things that really enhance the life that you're living right now. Now, getting to that place, many people say that they feel like they're being wasteful if they get rid of things. Because some of the things that we have, we are actually not going to be something that somebody else is going to want to use. And so they do end up in trash bins, which do end up in landfills. And we kind of have to reconcile that thing within our own hearts of what our values are of recycle, reuse, repurpose.
Right.
When that isn't possible, the mental, physical benefits to letting go of that item, regardless, you know, how valuable is that to you? And so then once you get your home to that intentional place, now you get to have a space that is no longer filled with excess and you know, strange things that you know you didn't even know that you had, because you know what every item in your home is. And yes, it takes a little while to get there. There is work involved. There's mental, emotional work. There's physical work. But getting to that place creates a home that, like, I was gone from my home recently for 2 weeks because my stepfather had passed away. And so I went to Michigan to stay with my mother for a while to kind of help her with that transition. And so when I returned back to my home, it was this delightful experience of walking in my door and everything is tidy and clean. And there are systems that my husband can easily keep up with so that the house continues to look like an inviting place that I wanted to come home to. And that is not what I had 6, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, it was a place, my home was a place that was just filled with unfinished projects. And now it is this cozy place that I love to come home to, where my routines are, where my safety is. And that is the letting go of that weightiness. You've mentioned weightiness a couple of times, and I do want to address that. Letting go of that weight, because my clients over and over and over again say, I feel lighter.
Yeah.
When I let go of things.
Yeah, for sure.
So to go through that process, which as you get used to it, you kind of speed up because you get into the rhythm of it. You understand, you know what questions to ask yourself. You're getting more and more honest with yourself. So while it is tough to get the train going, once you get it going and you know what you're doing, it really does get easier and it gets kind of fun. And then you have to be a little careful because my husband will every once in a while check in with me and go, what did you do with that thing? Because he's fearful that I'm just getting rid of things.
That's what my husband does. I'm like, where is that thing? He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure you do.
See, it's almost addictive to keep on reducing
and you know that go ahead,
that intentional place. Yeah.
It is. And that even speaks to the healing work that people need to do, like doing inner child work, like things that I help women do, or just take a look at those, that connection between mind, body, and how when we hang on to things, we do things without intention that aren't serving us. We don't have clear boundaries. Like, it's going to create that sense of chaos within ourselves, which is going to manifest in our physical and mental health. And it is all connected. And we've talked about the spaces that we live in, there is that synergy, there's that connection, and that we feed on each other, and the things in our space create emotions in us. And it's such a wonderful thing to be able to energetically connect to the things we love, to have things we love, to give ourselves permission, to have intentionality, and to do the hard work, but knowing that once we start feeling lighter and that we start feeling better, because it's going to impact our physical and mental health,
we do have that motivation to keep going. And then to your point, creating systems that help us keep that train rolling, then it becomes not, we don't ever get to that place of feeling like we can't do it, because we know that by doing it, we're going to get this reward, and it's the work is worth it.
Yes. Yes.
Well, Kate, thank you so much. So if anybody wants to reach out and have Kate come sprinkling her magic in your life, how can people get in touch with you, Kate? Because I just love what you do. It's impactful in people's lives. And I want to connect you with people who could use you.
You can either find me on social media, Facebook or Instagram, at soulfulspace.coaching. Or you can go to my website at soulfulspacecoaching.com. So keeping it simple there. And I really encourage anyone to, you know, for those extra little tidbits, to go ahead and get into my newsletter as well, because I address kind of more in-depth things that in social media I might not be able to really get to. And I'm sure you can have that in the show notes, but it's soulfulspacecoaching.com/newsletter. Super easy.
Awesome.
Again. So, you know, anytime I get a chance to talk about the work that I do and giving people that permission to release what no longer serves them, it's such a gift. And really, thank you so much for having this chat with me today.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and we'll stay connected, because we need to just keep touching base, because this adventure is going to be, I'm going to be in new spaces all the time. So it's going to be interesting how my shoppers respond to Airbnbs. So, well, thank you so much, Kate, and my condolences to your recent loss. I did not know. So for all those in your family that are moving through that transition, you know, peace to all those and to you. And I'm sure we will chat very soon again.
Most definitely. Yes. I can't wait to hear how this all unfolds for you.
I know. Me too. Who knows what's going to happen? All right. Thank you, Kate, so much.
You are so welcome.